ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اجعلنا منهم ومن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله آمين يا رب العالمين. إن شاء الله تعالى in the 20 plus minutes that I have to share with you, I'll first remind you, if you don't already know, of the source of the title that was offered to me, Following the Lizard. It comes from a famous hadith narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala, in which the messenger essentially warned us that تَتَّبِعُنَّ سُنَنًا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, you are no doubt going to follow the people, the legacies of those who came before you. People that came before us, and when, just quickly paraphrasing, the companions asked him, اليهود والنصارى أهلهم النصارى, are you referring to the Jews and the Christians? So then he said, Mama, who else? Who else am I referring to? And in showing us the extent to which we will follow the nations who came before us, the messenger gave a parable, an example. And that was the example of if one of them was to go into or crawl into the hole of something like a lizard, right? Bump is kind of like a lizard. Then you would do the same. You would follow it just the same. First, a little bit about this example. You know, crawling into any animal's hole is illogical for human beings. It doesn't make any sense. And so one of the clear implications of this parable is if the people before you made mistakes that are utterly ridiculous, they don't make any sense at all, they are clearly harmful for you, you will still do them, even if they don't make any sense. And also there's something else. It is the imitation of an animal. You see, an animal behaves a certain way and a human being behaves another. Allah has dignified the human being, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. Without a doubt, we have already honored and dignified the human being, the children of Adam, son of Adam. So now acting in a way that is not even becoming of decent human beings, if they do so, you do so too. These are some of the direct implications of the profound words of our messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm pretty confident that all of you, if not most of you, have heard a khutbah or a talk about imitating those or following the path and the legacy of those who came before us. You've heard a khutbah about this before, and you have heard this hadith before too. I'm fairly confident. And typically the khatib, or the alim, the scholar, the one who is reminding you, will tell you, well, we shouldn't follow them in certain ways. For example, we shouldn't follow them in the way they dress. If they dress in ways that are inappropriate, that are not becoming of the standards that Allah has set for those who believe, then we shouldn't imitate them. We shouldn't follow them in that way. You may have heard someone tell you, well, there's a certain culture, especially in high school in the United States, there's a certain culture. Something that I thought would be different from the Northeast where I used to live when I was in high school. It would be different in the South, it would be different in the West Coast. But as I traveled the country, and I visited over 50 Muslim communities, I saw pretty much the same culture. And this is a culture in which there's a certain attitude that is almost glorified. There's an attitude that's glorified. So if you have a certain kind of walk, then that's respectable. A walk that basically, it projects yourself as an arrogant, full of yourself, conceited human being. But this is something looked up upon. There's an entire industry, entire genres of music, where the songwriter and the singer will say nothing about praising himself. There's an entire genre. This is looked up. I am this and I am that and I can do this and I have this much money and look at my car and look at my clothes and look at the ring on my finger and look at my watch. And this is glorified. And when you compare this to what Allah Azza wa Jalla has revealed, we glorify Allah Azza wa Jalla, we humble ourselves. It's the exact opposite direction. So here you have kids, Muslim kids, that are going to Sunday school, that are attending a khutbah at the masjid, and they have their iPod in their pocket, and in their iPod, the khatib is talking about humility and humbling yourself before Allah and khushu' in the salah, and after the khutbah they hit the play button on the MP3, and here's somebody speaking about how great they themselves are. And arrogance, the irony of the whole thing. So this is one way of following, whichever way they go. This is one way, certainly. You know, our deen teaches us to clean up the way in which we speak. It's such a profound statement. Even to mention the name of corrupt things is horrible after you have iman. You can't even mention those things after you have eaten. You're disgusted by mentioning terrible things. Yet we live in a culture where comedy, for example, has entirely to do with either shameless, vulgar things, obscene things are funny, right? Every other joke has to do with something disgusting, something Muslims would never talk about, would never be entertained by, yet that's comedy. Or Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, لَا يَسْخَطَ أَوْمٌ مِنْ أَوْمٍ. Don't let one group, one nation make fun of another nation. And what is comedy nowadays? Except for imitation of how the Chinese speak, or how the Indian speaks, or how the Arab speaks. One nation making fun of another. That's comedy for you. This guy does a really great imitation, and he relates this other verses very, very well. Therefore, he must be a great comedian. So they follow this path. And Allah tells us, don't make fun of another nation. And we say to ourselves, chill out, brother, it's just comedy. It's just, you know, it's all fun. It's just entertainment. You don't have to make such a big deal out of it. So what I'm trying to tell you is, we are following and being basically victimized by a legacy we don't even realize we're following that track. We don't even realize it. I'll tell you something. Many of the youth here, they will know the parents might find this disturbing, but I have to share this with you. Your kids, and the youth, even the religious youth, among themselves, just jokingly, they might mention something about homosexuality. They might make a joke about it. They might find it funny too. They might laugh at each other about it. Oh, that movie was really gay. And everybody's going to be laughing. Yet, when we use these words, who made this terminology mainstream? This is a word, and this is a concept, an idea, that the Muslim would never even consider bringing up in conversation, much less joke about it. And yet it's become part of the culture. It's so in our face all the time that even we have incorporated it into our daily conversation. This is a sign that there is a deterioration occurring. There's a problem that's happening. We are being desensitized. But at the same time, I do want to let you know that the concern of my sharing these ideas with you is not to be condescending to another group of people who have to say that we're better than the Jews and the Christians. By the end of the talk, inshallah ta'ala, that will become clear. That's not the reason I'm telling you this. Because Muslims ride on this high horse too many times and fall flat on their face. At least we're not like that. What do you mean about that? What's missing anything? So now, in the few ways in which we imitate or we have followed the nations before us, one of them, I want to share with you some ayat of the Quran that show us, or Allah Azza wa Jalla criticizes, or basically wakes us up, that we don't follow into that lizard's hole. For instance, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in Al-Baqarah, أَمْ تُرِيدُونَ أَنْ تَسْأَلُوا رَسُولَكُمْ كَمَا سُئِلَ مُوسَىٰ مِنْ قَبْلُ. Do you intend to question your messenger like Musa alayhi salam was questioned before? Is that what you want to do? And what this tells us from another hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the three things that Allah does not like is kathratu su'al. Too many questions. Too many questions. If you look at a change in paradigm, a change in mentality, on the one hand, if you have the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in, they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they ask him, what more can I do to please Allah? Tell me something that will get me into Jannah. Tell me something that will bring me close to Allah. Tell me something, a dhikr I can make that is the most reward. These are the questions the Sahaba are asking. Right? What more, how more they can become slaves of Allah? This is what they ask. You go across the Muslim world to a alim, a scholar, who gives a reminder to the people, he reminds them and he gives them something from the deen, he tells them words of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells them words of Allah, and you go to the QA session. What do people ask? People don't ask, what more can I do for Allah? They ask, what more dunya can I enjoy? Is that halal too? Is that haram? Can I do that too? Can I have that too? Can I do this transaction? Is that halal? Is that halal? Is that halal? Meaning, instead of asking what more I can do for Allah, we ask what more of dunya can we legitimize for ourselves? A change in mentality. Complete shift. Complete shift. Allah Azza wa Jalla asks us a rhetorical question. In Surah At-Tawbah, it's such a strange question. It's a rhetorical question. Allah asks the believers, you are pleased with this world over the next? It's understandable if a kafir is pleased with it. It's understandable if someone who doesn't know the pleasures of Jannah or the horrible things waiting for them in the hellfire, they don't know that and they only have this dunya, it's understandable. But you know, and you are content with this dunya. What's wrong with you? مَا لَكُمْ حَلِيَ begins. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ أَمُنُوا مَا لَكُمْ Those of you who believe, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? So now, this is one way, asking too many questions and asking questions that loosen our relationship with this deen. We want to further distance ourselves from Allah and the mediates, rather than bringing ourselves closer. Then another very interesting legacy within the Christian tradition, that's a more subtle thing, and I need you to pay attention if you understand this, inshallah. I pray you to tell you this in clear fashion. You know, the Christian tradition originally, for example, Catholicism that dominated the Christian world, was an otherworldly kind of thing. Don't marry, that's an evil thing. If you want to reach the highest states of spirituality, deny worldly life, be a monk, live in a monastery. And there was almost an allergic reaction to that version of Christianity. Suck it off. 5 minutes, oh my God. Okay. There was an allergic reaction to that version of Christianity with the rise of the Protestant movement. And at the very end of the Protestant movement, you know what you have basically? A new Christianity. And in this Christianity, the more dunya you have, the more God loves you. If you listen to a preacher, an evangelical, or anybody else on a Sunday afternoon, they'll tell you, go get that promotion, God wants you to live well, get that second mortgage, refinance your house, get that new car. You need to show that God has blessed you. And this mentality, unfortunately, seeps its way into the Muslim mind, where we start thinking, I'm going to throw a party because I just got a house. Or I'm going to throw a party and I'm going to show people my new car. The more dunya we acquire, the more we celebrate. These are favors of Allah. But we have forgotten that all of these favors of Allah that are halal on us are not actually the reason for celebration. What we celebrate is the obedience to Allah. We have Eid at the end of obeying Allah, Ramadan. We have Eid at the end of performing the Hajj. Obedience to Allah is what we celebrate. Not dunya. Allah gave us something much better than dunya to celebrate. Yet we became people who feel we must be really good Muslims because Allah got me a really great job. And I have really good health. And I got my immigration cleared very quickly, alhamdulillah. Allah must love me. Just like the two gardeners mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, we don't have time to go into the story because I have 4 minutes left. So this is one way in which we follow the nations before us. Our mentality has changed. The way we think about dunya has changed. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Right? يَوْمَ يَجْمَعُكُمْ لِيَوْمِ الْجَمْعِ ذَٰلِكَ يَوْمُ التَّغَابُنِ. The day on which we gather you for that day of gathering, that is the day of winning and losing. This is not winning and losing. That's winning and losing. That day of gathering. So again, our mentality suffers a change. Finally, I'm going to skip a few things, inshallah ta'ala, and go straight to the last few things that I wanted to share with you. One of the ways in which we have followed the nations before us, and this is probably the scariest one, if I don't even get to finish the other 4 points I have, if I finish this one, I'm happy. And this one thing is the relationship this nation has, this ummah has with its book, the Quran. Our ummah was bestowed the great gift of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the final revelation, the Quran. The Messenger of Allah tells us in an authentic hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya ahl al-Qur'an, people of Qur'an, la tatawassalu al-Qur'an, watluhu haqqa tilawatihi min ala'i al-layli wa nahar. I'll come to the meaning of hadith, this hadith at the end. The people who came before us, you tell me, I want to listen to the answer from the audience. You tell me, were the people before us given books? They were given books. What was Bani Israel given? Which book? They were given? Tawrat. Allah Azza wa Jalla talks about that nation and the relationship they had with their book. He talks about that nation and the relationship they had with which book? Which book? At-Tawrat. He says, وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِيَّ وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ. Among them, among Bani Israel, they are unlettered people. Uneducated, not educated in terms of finance or accounting or medicine, uneducated in terms of their own book. They don't know the book except their own wishful thoughts, amani. Amani means wishful thoughts. They don't know what it says, they think they know what it says. That's all they know. وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ. They do nothing more than make assumptions. That's all they do. They don't really know their book, the Torah, they just make assumptions about it. Now, I want to share with you what Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma and Qatada radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, what they said about this ayah. I want to share with you what they said about this ayah, and my point is done. What they said about this ayah is amani. Amani, which is their crime. They reduced the relationship with themselves and Allah to just amani, which will cause. They said amani and tilawah. يَعْلَمُونَهُ حِفْظًا وَقِرَاءَةً بِلَا فَهْمْ لَا يَدْرُونَ مَا فِيهَا إِنَّمَا يَقْتَصِرُونَ عَلَى مَا يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ. They said, amani in this ayah means all these people do is tilawah. You know what tilawah means? Who here knows what tilawah means? Let me hear it. Recitation? All they know about Allah is what? Recitation. يَعْلَمُونَهُ حِفْظًا. They know it in terms of hifz. You know what hifz is? They know it in terms of memorizing some parts of it. Well, qira'atan, you know what qira'atan is? Recitation again? The only thing they do with their book is they memorize some parts of it and they recite some parts of it. La yaduna ma fiha, they don't know what's inside. The only thing they know is they memorize some things and they recite some things. And that's it. They're very happy even if somebody recites it to them. That's enough for them. This is the description of a sahabi, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Fasl al-Quran, of what they did with their book. Now the topic of my speech was going into the lizard's hole. What do we do with our book? You go across, I'm not going to talk down to the Muslims living in Bangladesh or in Egypt or in Pakistan or in Indonesia or in Turkey. Forget all of that. Let's go across the United States. Let's travel to the Muslim communities across the United States. MashaAllah, well-educated community. Is the vast majority of them people that love their book, that recite their book, that memorize their book. But the vast majority of them has no idea what the book says. Is that true or no? SubhanAllah. The description is of a Sahabi, of the nation before. That's the thing that scares me the most. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us truly a people of Quran. And again, I know my time's up. I'll just tell you the meaning of the hadith I shared with you in the beginning, and I'm done, inshallah. O people of Quran, ya ahl al-Quran. La tatawassalu al-Quran, don't become complacent with the Quran. Don't become lazy with the Quran. It's not a pillow for you to relax on. وَتْلُوهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ مِنْ أَنَاءِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. Read and follow it, as it deserves to be read and followed in all hours of the night and day. وَفْشُوهُ and spread it, وَتَعَنَّوهُ and beautify it, وَتَدَبَّرْ فِيهِ and reflect deeply in it. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that all of you may succeed. اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْنَا مِنَ المُفْلِحِينَ. بارك الله فيكم والسلام عليكم.